This episode is brought to you by Bloat Games.
Hiya folks, Old Man Grognard here. If you're looking for games that combine the classic RPG feel with the light, concise rule set of today's indie games in a variety of genres, you gotta check out Bloat Games. Their Survive This rules take a cue from the old school games of yore and combine them with a stripped down but easy to understand mechanic that plays fast and fun, giving you an exciting, thrilling game session every time. Whether it's fighting off zombies, swinging a great axe and slinging spells in dark, dangerous, creature-filled forests, riding your 10-speed bike through monster-infested suburbs, or keeping the city streets safe from super-powered menaces, the Survive This system is the one that'll keep your players coming back to the table. Check out these great RPGs, in addition to card games and other fantastic things they offer, at bloatgames.squarespace.com or at drivethroughrpg.com. Bloat Games. The worlds are fiction, but the fun is real.
Abandon all hope, listeners. You're listening to Radio Grognard, the OSR podcast about stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya folks, Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. Nice day. Trying to keep the throat clear. I just had a cup of yogurt, so we'll see how that goes. Had a good 1E game last night. Got manhandled. My character got manhandled by a Cyclops, but we prevailed. Now we're working for another Cyclops to go find a stinger off of a spider scorpion thing. We just passed two tower levels ago. But hey, he pays good. What the hey, you know? Okay, before we get started, I got a voicemail from John Allen Large from the Red Dice Diaries. Go ahead, John.
Hey there, Glenn. It's John from the Red Dice Diaries. Just been listening to your vis-a-vis episode, and I really liked the idea of this sort of magical enhancer that you were talking about. And as a result of listening to your episode, I've actually gone and picked up a cheeky PDF copy of the Majestic Fantasy RPG, and I'm having a read of the Viz entry in the treasure section now, and I think that looks like a great thing that could easily be incorporated alongside the traditional sort of Vancian system in any D&D or OSR game, as you rightly said. And it's definitely something I'm considering bringing into my OSE game. So just wanted to call in to say I enjoyed the episode, and thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. It wasn't something I was aware of before, but I'm looking forward to bringing it to a game session soon. Thanks very much, dude. Take care, and I'll catch you soon.
Thank you, John. I'm glad you like that. Yeah, this is one of those. See, this is the kind of thing I like to play with, because this is the kind of house rule that is just like an add-on to something else. So it doesn't really throw the game off. It's just a little add-on that they can do. Like, I use spell stones, I use talk stones, which are, you know, little magical artifacts. Like, talk stones have a range of 200 miles. You can tell you, like, a, you know, back talking back and forth. But, you know, I love stuff like Viz because, like I said, you can tack it on to something else. And it does, and it's a little enhancer that doesn't really throw the balance or anything of it off, the rule system. I mean, these rule systems are ready for tinkering anyway, but this is kind of like the least intrusive type of house rule tinkering. And anyway, thank you, John, for that. And Rob Conley thanks you for buying a copy of his book. So, okay, doggone it, Mr. Welsh, you got me thinking again. I was on YouTube and I watched his video about the lack of variety in D&D, or how much variety we should have, and he brings up a really, really good point. Asking, well, he just says it, play the character, not the numbers, and that's my question. Do you play the numbers, or do you play the character? Actually, I think there's a kind of a valid reason for both of them. Playing the numbers is just you got min-maxers out there who want to do that. And it all boils down to the fact of, what do you come to D&D for? What do you come to role-playing games for? There are some people, I've had one or two people, friends of mine, who have just blatantly said, I come here every week just to kill monsters, just to kill stuff, because they're unstressing from the week with that. which is okay as long as you have, you know, other characters who don't do that. I mean, if you have a kill party full of all of those, it's going to get kind of boring after a while, at least for the GM. And it may be boring for them. Who knows? You never know how that's going to roll. So that's something you have to think about. But it's a delicate, I know it's a balancing act. I really do. You know, you got the stats, you got the number, you got the numbers, you got the role-playing. Because he said some people role-play despite their bad stats. They use that as a springboard for role-playing. Now, it's just, I don't know. See, people don't like to do, but he was talking about, you know, you're rolling six stats, 3d6 straight down. He says that some people, that's not good. They don't like, most people, they don't like that. Well, what if that's the way you learned? That's the way I learned. I mean, that's not the way I learned. What am I saying? That's not the way. I learned 4d6, drop the lowest and put them where you want. And I've done that ever since. That's the way I roll. Because that's how I learned it, and that's what I'm most comfortable with. 3d6, straight down, go for it. My Astonishing Swordsman game. Everybody in the group wanted to use my method except for Matt. Matt, 3d6 straight down, that's more, he worries about it being more authentic to old school. And I told him, you know, 4d6, drop the lowest, put it where you want, is authentic as far as I'm concerned because it's my old school. So, you know, and I said, you want to do it that way? Go right ahead. And I can understand the appeal. There is an appeal to it. There's an appeal to it in the fact that you play the hand you're dealt. And I can understand that. I mean, if it was a poker game and you got a bad hand, you try and trade a few cards out, it's still a bad hand. You got a bad hand. Play it. You know, either play it out or fold or something. But most people like me want to, and also it's good, let me say, it's also good if you want to just take some stats and see where it fits as far as class goes. I mean, races may adjust a little on the points, but see where the, you know, okay, I can only play this thief or a cleric with these stats. And they're like minimum stats too, so they're not a very good thief or a cleric. Or they're middling, maybe a little above average. So I can understand the appeal of that. I've done that before. I went to cons and I walk up to a game and says, just give me a character sheet, I'll play it. You know, just hand me something. You got pre-gens, hand me something. I'll play it. And I had a good time. So I can see the appeal to that, but there are a lot of times when I want to play X character. I really want to play an illusionist. So I'm going to look for the race class combination thing for illusionist. And the stats are a big part of that. And if I can arrange it, I mean, sometimes you roll the 4d6, drop one and put it where you want. Sometimes you get crappy rolls. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. You just got, like I said, play the hand you're dealt. But the point is, you've got a better chance of playing what you want this way. Because, you know, playing what you want is part of the fun. I mean, like I said, you can take the numbers and just do with it, but playing what you want is a lot of fun. It's not, you know, you're not getting a little ridiculous. You're not going into champions where, you know, it's a point-by system. Point-by systems, to me, have, at this time in my life, it's at a limited aspect of it is good. You know, because like say Savage Worlds or something like that, which is kind of point by, a bit point by. But I can't do things like Champions anymore where everything is point by and you have to make every point count and you got to balance it out and da 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 da. I like to keep it simple. That's why I like Mutants Masterminds when it came out, because it's like, okay, this is point by, but I can handle this because they've categorized things and they, you know. And Savage Worlds is a good example because you've got so many points you can, so many rolls you can spend, so many points you can spend, whatever. But I like to keep it at a minimum. So when you're doing a class of level system, you're rolling the dice and see what you get. You know, it works that way. But like I said, I myself don't play the stats. I play the character. And the character, if he's hobbled by one or two bad stats, well, so be it. I mean, and if I do 4d6, drop the lowest and put them where you want, you know, I have nobody to blame but myself, because these are the numbers I rolled and these were the places I picked to put them. So I got to live with that. And the earlier editions of D&D, you're not getting point bumps on the stats. You know, above third edition, past third edition, like second edition, first basic, you're not getting point stat bumps unless you get a magic item or something that bumps up your stats temporarily or permanently. So there's that. So, you know, I'm not always thinking about the best combo, the best this. I try to get close, you know, but I'm not going to, you know, if I got a certain idea for a character or a certain class for a character or a certain type of character, I'm going to follow that rather than the other one, rather than the stats version. So that's my little lecture. I'm going to start my day. If you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com, or you can drop a voicemail on Anchor. We're monetized, so as little as 99 cents a month, you too can help support this program, and I would thank you. I also want to thank Jonathan, Oliver, Gilbert, Juan Carlos, Daniel, Dan, Benjamin, Jason, John Allen, Michael, Randy, and Joe. Thanks. You want another other good podcasts? Are Dan Gregg's Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognard podcast, Mark C. Wallring's The Yawning Owlbear podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, old Randy and Joe over at Biggest Geekus, and my friend Eric Tinker's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Questions? Comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. We'll see you next time when Radio Grognard is on the air.